Welcome to another exciting episode of National Google Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN Republic Broadcasting. .org. It's the menswear of free speech. It's where you come there's a bit of haberdashery here, so you can get gloves or hats or whatever. And while you're here, drop us a tip. Shekels are fine, dollars, whatever. And you can do it
rubles.
By going to rubles. Rubles are, because rubles are going up. Bitcoin's
that's
down,
right.
Dollars down,
rubles.
Everything else. Rubles. Send rubles. Send rubles to RBN, RB. Right, is the it's the international code for ruble, RB, and N. That means N is a number, so send us a number of rubles. And you can do that by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the donate button, sending those rubles. And also, while you're at it, download the CoSertified app from nationalbugle.com. It's the number one site for downloading the CoSertified app and taking your first step on the non-kosher certified lifestyle. There we go. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Patrick. And today we've got Mark Dankoff with us as well. Mark, how would you like to start the show? Obviously, there's been so much going on. I think we last spoke, although we're in touch regularly by text. We last did a show together, I think, before the Ukraine war started, and that seems many, many moons ago. Of course, it was only back in February. Where would you like to start us off today? What topic would you like to raise?
Well, we might start with Ukraine. I'd open by saying that folks might want to take a look at my open letter to the Russian people, which is up there someplace in Mark Dankoff's catacomb. I also wrote one entitled The Chicago Way as the way of dealing with the New World Order. And, of course, I've been doing a number of things with Sputnik International and with the Tehran Times periodically that folks can also access some of that, if not most of that, dealing with this business in Ukraine. And suffice it to say that this is all backfiring, obviously, on Joe Biden and the New World Order. The ruble is strengthened. Russia's in good shape in terms of their trade surplus. The West's economic war of attrition is clearly backfiring on them in every conceivable way, most obviously with the rise in energy prices and food prices. And then, of course, looking militarily at what is going on in the Donbass, I have found that Duran to be extremely helpful in these last couple of months with Alexander Mercuris and Alex Christoforou in giving us the real story on what has been going on militarily in the Donbass and what the Russian military strategy has been all along. Those guys have put me on to a couple of additional sites, which are also on my links at Mark Dankoff's Catacomb. One is the Drizin Report. Jacob Drizin has been doing a lot of work with the Duran, as well as his own stuff, in regard to giving us more detailed military explanations that I'm certainly capable of. And that gets, of course, into the whole business of people like Scott Ritter as well, in regard to the whole business of the military specifications on what's going on in the battlefield and what these different weapon systems are all about. And clearly at this juncture, it is going exactly the way that the Duran has indicated it was going all along. And that is that this talk of a Ukrainian victory in Donbass is completely ridiculous. And now the Russians are on the verge of taking Severodonetsk. And once they do that, then we're going to see, of course, that their next major move is going to be on Kramatorsk. And at that particular juncture, this thing is largely going to be wrapped up in terms of the Donbass militarily, with the Russians holding all of that territory. Now, having said that, the one thing I would say as a cautionary note as the discussion today proceeds, we all know that it's extremely bad news when bad policy is being doubled down on. That's exactly what the Biden administration appears to be doing. That's exactly what the lab dogs with the European Union appear to be doing. They're obviously getting increasingingly desperate as Zelensky is about ready to be completely stripped naked and running down the highway. And as you watch this whole thing unfolding, the one worrisome aspect of this is a false flag incident that the United States and the EU would utilize as an attempt to get NATO involved in this thing more directly, which, of course, would ignite a third world war. There are all kinds of things going on that are being reported in Iranian and Russian media, in regard to Israel upping the ante in terms of preparing for an attack on Iran. That's certainly worth watching. And then as you watch these events continuing to move forward, this business of American naval policy in the Pacific and in the South China Sea, and some of these bellicose statements coming out of the State Department in regard to Taiwan are similarly worrisome. So we are at a point where sane people would be pulling back from all these wrong-headed policies. But I'm concerned that these neoconservatives and neoliberal interventionists in the United States government and in the American media can't see the handwriting on the wall and are going to be pressed into doing something extremely rash that could cause this whole thing to literally go up in smoke. And in that regard, the only other thing I would say before I turn it back to you, Andy, and to Patrick, is that it's fascinating to me to watch the international globalist left doubling down on war policies and interventionist policies and defense spending that are above and beyond anything that I would have imagined that even John Bolton would have supported. I saw this article recently in the Gray Zone.
Oh, John Bolton is supporting it. John Bolton is supporting it. John Bolton is supporting it all. He's very happy.
Oh, sure, he's very happy. And Paul Mason, the former BBC journalist and ex-Trotskyite, as the Gray Zone describes him, is now apparently working hand in glove with British intelligence, with mainstream British media, to try and have the Gray Zone marginalized. Bernie Sanders and the Squad and every progressive Democrat and every Democrat on Capitol Hill have voted for this latest $40 billion insanity as it involves us supporting the Zelensky regime, although a little less than $6 billion of that is actually for military weaponry. But nonetheless, all of these alleged liberal leftist anti-war types voted unanimously to keep pumping this kind of money and NATO aggression aimed at the Russians via supporting Zelensky. And then you start getting into this whole business again of the neocons on the right, the alleged right, not the real right, but the alleged right. And at this point, it's very difficult to distinguish John Bolton from Bernie Sanders. That is the and the Bernie Sanders advisor, longtime advisor, Matt Duss, D-U-S-S, who has doubled down on urging the leftist, so-called leftist community to be supporting all of these military expenditures and all of these economic sanctions and the like against Russia. This is complete craziness. And when you start seeing the coalescence of a demonic political coalition that involves everyone from Sanders and the AOC and the and AOC and the Squad on the one hand to the Boltons of the world on the other, I'm extremely concerned that even though Russia is clearly gaining the upper hand on everything that has happened since the 24th of February, that these desperados across the political spectrum in the United States and in Europe, who have been on board with this lunacy all along, are going to take this to the next step, and that next step could still lead us into a third world war.
Thank you, Mark. And my only comment, I don't know if either of you have heard references both to the way that he looks and the way that he acts, John Bolton as Yosemite Sam.
Yeah. Wait, look, I mean, he's not as restrained as Yosemite Sam. right. I mean, Yosemite Sam sometimes has his guns in the holsters, occasionally, right? So, yeah. Well, you know, Mark and I, we did a show right after this all started. So I think we did a show around the end of February. And what we agreed was that it wasn't so much that it was a Russian attack on Ukraine, but it was Russia defending itself from this steady onslaught, maybe slow but steady onslaught from Zio America, NATO, and Ukraine is simply being used as a pawn. It's a sacrificial pawn. So
exactly,
they, by creating a situation where there's going to be lots of deaths on both sides, but you know, there's going to be lots of Ukrainian deaths and lots of destruction in Ukraine. That is what's desired. This is what Victoria Nuland wants. She wants death and destruction in Ukraine in order to get public opinion around the world to coalesce for sanctions. So this is an economic war against Russia. The whole idea, and I heard Alexander Mercolis echo this very recently, but you know, we were talking about this from the very beginning, that the whole idea was to have an economic war against Russia in order to cause regime change, to overthrow Vladimir Putin. That's been the whole idea. And the more death and destruction, the idea at least, was the more death and destruction on the Ukrainian side, the more sympathy there is and the more solidarity there will be for the economic war against Russia. And of course, to the extent there's death and destruction in the Russian military, then you're going to get war fatigue in Russia too. And that also facilitates the regime change in Russia. Now, the thing is, at this point, it's obvious that this isn't going to work, because the economic, not only is Russia winning the military war, but it's also winning the economic war. And it's this plan, I'm pretty sure, was something that had been drawn up in the wake of the 2014 coup by Victoria Nuland, and would have been, and I guess, I think Obama was not all that gung-ho on the Ukraine stuff. And this is why he had delegated it to Biden. And Biden was on the phone with Poroshenko twice a week, at least according to Stephen F. Cohen. Biden was on the phone as vice president during, say, 2015, 2016. Obama wasn't all that gung-ho. But had Hillary Clinton won, Hillary Clinton very likely would have appointed Victoria Nuland to be Secretary of State, and this whole project would have started 4 years earlier. And had that happened, maybe Russia wouldn't have been able to withstand the economic warfare. But now here we are. It's not 2017. It's 2022, and Russia, with its having the extra 4 or 5 years to prepare itself to go on a policy of import substitution, so it's not as vulnerable. And also, China is that much stronger, and China and Russia have this good relationship, a good economic relationship. The Russian economy wasn't collapsed. All of these things, all these unprecedented measures that were taken, such as freezing Russian the Bank of Russia's assets, their foreign exchange reserves, none of this has worked. In fact, because the ruble is surging and the Bank of Russia is intervening in order to – they're selling rubles to keep the ruble from getting too strong, they're winding up building up foreign exchanges again. So none of this is working. Anyway, I wanted to throw that in there. And then the question becomes, all right, so this policy has failed. As Mark points out, there are still risks. Taiwan, Mark pointed out Taiwan, and Taiwan is something that the neocons have been eyeing for a while. But if you were the cat lady, I think her name's Tsai Ing-wen, if you are the cat lady president of Taiwan, and you see what's happened in Ukraine, where all you get is destruction, and I don't know if the Taiwanese are going to bite at the bait. As long as they don't declare independence from China, then they don't have to. There doesn't have to be a war. And lastly, we have Jews that were appointed at State Department. The three top people are all Jews: Sherman and Victoria Nuland and Antony Blinken. Got Janet Yellen at this Treasury Department, and of course this has been an economic war, and she's done all of these economic sanctions. It's another part of the Jewish project. Of course, you've got Merrick Garland at Justice Department and Alejandro Mayorkas at the Homeland Security. But the one place where they, at least you don't have a nominally Jewish head, is the Pentagon. And the Pentagon doesn't seem to be all that gung-ho, at least not as gung-ho on this project as the rest. And you know, you think about Lloyd Austin, and he wasn't appointed to launch Jewish wars. He was appointed to purge the military of white Christians. And so it's a very different project. And I don't know if he wants to be distracted by wars when he is purging the military of its best warriors. Back to you guys.
Mark, please go ahead. Thank you, Patrick.
Well, I think this is all excellent on Patrick's part. I think the biggest thing economically that these Victoria Nuland types weren't banking on that is so obvious now is that Russia has the commodities. You get into a situation where you start getting into a policy of an economic war of attrition against Russia, we discover what our leadership, so-called leadership, in the United States and in the EU has not understood, and that is that Russia has the commodities. Their oil, their gas, their precious metals, their fertilizer for the production of grain and all of the rest of it, they are in the driver's seat on this. And so when you start talking about an economic war of attrition against the people who have the commodities, guess who's going to win? And the Russians are winning this economic war of attrition. And Patrick has already pointed out all of the specific economic indices that prove that. So when you start getting into this whole business of an economic war of attrition, this is where the absolute ignorance of the American and European political elite is matched by their ignorance of what the Russian war objectives and military strategy has been in Ukraine all along. This is why the Western media, up until very recently, was trying to give people the impression that Ukraine was winning this conflict, that Russia was struggling, that this was going to be another Afghanistan like it was for the old Soviet Union, not to mention the current United States, right? None of that has played out that way. And as you start looking at this whole situation, what is absolutely breathtaking to me to watch is that an American political and military policy that has had this country bogged down in these ridiculous Middle Eastern wars and that has cost us something like $8 trillion ever since Bush's war on terror began, with the results, the so-called results, that we have seen in this situation, ranging from an ongoing American quagmire in Iraq to the downright defeat of the United States in Afghanistan. Does anyone really believe that policies designed to get the United States and the Western world involved in an economic and ultimately military conflict that would involve Russia and China and Iran, that's anything other than complete lunacy? I'd like to point people to a fellow that perhaps some of our listeners have already become aware of on the UNS Review, and that is Larry Johnson, the ex-CIA analyst who has his own website. It's entitled A Son of the American Revolution, and both for his own site as well as for the UNS Review and other publications, Larry has been giving people like me and people like the folks at the Duran a whole new place to turn to for very fine information on just how crazy these policies really are. And if you go to my page, Mark Dankoff's Catacomb, and look at my news links, I believe Larry's is the first one in my expanded list of news links. It's and I believe his site is A Son of the American Revolution. There we can read all of the latest.
And get it off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say. And make the world go.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
I believe his site is A Son of the American Revolution. There we can read all of the latest in regard to not only what is going on in the Donbass militarily, but we can also read about all of the links between key figures in the Zelensky regime and not only the Democratic Party machine in the United States, but there was a coalescence of certain people in the Democratic Party and certain people in the Ukrainian establishment with the events of January 6th that are not being reported by the American media. So here you have a situation where this whole circumstance of getting rid of Trump by any means necessary appears to be more linked to the subsequent unraveling of events with supporting the policies of the February 2014 coup d'etat that, as near as I can tell from looking at what Larry Johnson is now telling us, it was absolutely imperative that the renewal of the democratic war and the globalist war on Putin's Russia necessitated getting rid of Donald Trump by any means necessary, and that the involvement of key Ukrainian operatives and intelligence people with both the American federal law enforcement agency known as the FBI, as well as the Clinton-Biden Newland wing of the Democratic Party, that this is even more nefarious than we might imagine, and that, of course, it has now coalesced into a situation where all of this is backfiring on a Democratic Party that does not know what to do now in a globalist wing of the Republican Party with people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger assisting the Democrats in this current circus hearing on the events of the 6th of January. All of these people are doubling down on these terrible policies because they are absolutely at a loss to know what to do in the wake of Russia's victories in the Donbass, in the wake of the economic war of attrition, which is going Putin's way, not their way. And that last but not least, the warnings of Henry Kissinger at Davos are ringing in all of their ears. And that is that they've got less than 2 months now to get Zelensky to come to terms with Russia, even if it means surrendering any future claim on Crimea, even if it means recognizing the independence of the Donetsk and Luhansk republics, in order to simply get out of this while there's still time. And Kissinger at Davos, I think, was hitting very strongly that the entire existing world order could come apart at the seams if this situation with Putin and Russia is not settled in the next 2 months or less. And that means getting Zelensky, who is basically their surrogate, to agree to things that Zelensky does not want to agree to, and that the American and European establishments were all supportive of Zelensky on these things up to now, but they're up against it. They don't know what to do, and this is where we get back to the very worrisome character of what evil people pursuing evil ends, how panicked they start getting when things are not going their way, and when there's plenty of blowback that is about to take place, both with Biden and the Democratic Party in a microcosmic sense, and against the whole new world order on a macrocosmic level, which is why I insist that whatever Putin's positives and negatives, that if you are truly against the new world order, that you must support the victory of Russia in Donbass, the victory of Russia in Ukraine, and frankly, the victory of Russia is the lead player in undermining this this new world order economic and banking monolith that up to now has had its own way, that is starting to lose its grip. So these people are running scared. They're running out of solutions. They're running out of ideas. And this is when I think things could really, really start to get bad.
Thank you, Mark. And just an interest in what you were talking about there. There was a Bilderberg meeting, the first since 2019, I believe, that took place at the start of this month in Washington, D.C. And one of the topics on their agenda was number 13 out of 14. Point 14 was Ukraine. But 13, the title of the topic was trade and deglobalization. Deglobalization. So I sort of saw that and I thought that's the last thing the Bilderberg group are about. They're all about globalization. So Patrick, your thoughts on what Mark had to say and any comments on that?
Well, first of all, if deglobalization was a agenda item, it wasn't that they're pushing deglobalization, but that they see deglobalization happening and they're alarmed at it. I think that's why it would be on there. One point, Russia and Vladimir Putin, it's very essential that, and I don't really think there was too much. I think once China made it clear that they were going to continue their economic relationship and strengthen their economic relationship and strategic relationship with Russia, once that was clear, I don't really think
anytime you're feeling blue.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Biden claimed ignorance. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Yesterday, referring to the baby formula shortage, President Biden said,
"I don't think anybody anticipated the impact of the shutdown of one facility, the Abbott facility."
Seriously? You shut down the facility responsible for 40% of the domestic baby formula manufacturing and didn't anticipate a 40% shortage? You don't have to be Nostradamus to predict that outcome. Maybe there was a legitimate reason for the shutdown, but you left the facility closed for months with no plan of how to reopen it. To make matters even worse, you shut down the plant during a supply chain crisis, so supplementing supply with imports was nearly impossible. President Biden, between this fiasco and your support of abortion on demand, it's starting to look like you just like killing babies. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pacum Parabellum.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
Continue their economic relationship and strengthen their economic relationship and strategic relationship with Russia. Once that was clear, I don't really think it's been in doubt, but did Putin and Russia do need to prevail. They will prevail. And China is playing just a massively important role in this. Because without China's economy, without China being a substitute consumer of Russian products, without China providing alternative settlement systems to the because it had come in cooperation with Russia over these past few years, it's come up with this alternative to the SWIFT system, the International Monetary Settlement System. That's been extremely important. And then also India and Pakistan and Indonesia and Bangladesh and these other very large countries in Asia have not gone along with the Western plan. And frankly, neither has Africa, neither has Latin America. You've got in Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro hasn't been gung-ho. And now his opponent in the presidential election, the former president, Lula da Silva, is very, very critical of the war. And not critical of Russia, but critical of the West. So it's really been the United States, Zio America, and its satellites. And for Zio America to be humiliated in this, and it is being humiliated there's going to be a lot of fallback. And Mark brings up, you know, the real danger that a wounded animal is most dangerous, and they are a wounded animal now. So there is that danger. But things are going to fall apart. The Democrats are going to lose. They're going to have like a historic loss in the House of Representatives elections coming up in November. I don't know if there's really going to be much movement in the Senate. There's not going to be a whole lot of movement, but they're just going to be completely wiped out in the House of Representatives. And it's going to be a massive humiliation. And who knows if, you know, Biden, of course, is senile, and it's increasingly obvious. And Kamala Harris is a giant slut, and nobody likes her. And so, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with the executive department. And of course, in other countries, what are these other people going to do? What's Boris Johnson going to do? Zelensky, a couple of months ago, he had representatives in Ankara or Istanbul negotiating with Russians, and seemed to be willing to negotiate some sort of deal. And Boris Johnson goes to Ukraine and tells them, no, you can win this. And of course, the longer Ukraine fights, the more territory they're going to lose.
Exactly.
If they had kept to the Minsk Accords, they would have been able to regain the Donbass, just giving the parts of the Donbass that were not under their control. They would have to give those parts autonomy, but it would still be incorporated into Ukraine. If they had stopped the fighting in March, well, they would have lost the Donbass, but they wouldn't have lost Kherson and this other province. They're going to be losing if they continue fighting into the summer. They're going to lose Odessa. And so the longer they fight, the more they lose in terms of territory, the more they lose in terms of humanity. And maybe still Victoria Nuland sees that somehow as a plus. But I think the whole strategy has collapsed, and there's got to be repercussions. Andy, is Boris Johnson going to remain in office? And if he doesn't, who's going to take over for him? Are you going to have Prime Minister Priti Patel?
It's an interesting one. The interesting story surrounding Priti Patel is that she had some sort of overseas development role in the Theresa May government, and she went over to Israel, and there was some scandal about it that she had to resign. And I'm like, well, UK and Israel work, almost as closely together, one could argue, as America and Israel. So I don't know why she had to resign, but as soon as Boris Johnson took over, she came from a backbench MP into like the third top job in the government, which is Home Secretary. Well, the fourth, you've got the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, then you've got the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and you've got the Foreign Secretary, which is the equivalent of your Secretary of State, and then you have the Home Secretary, and that is Priti Patel. But there are a variety of people that the problem that they've got is that there's nobody there who's really got the sort of personality of Boris Johnson. Whether you like him or not, he is extremely, how would one put it? He's a very, a lot of people aren't interested in politics, either in America or in the UK, but everyone's going to be familiar with Boris Johnson, just, you know, by the way he sort of bumbles around, and he's quite a larger-than-life character. So they don't have a personality like that to replace him with. I think that there was definitely...
I don't know if this was fair, but I referred to him as Down Syndrome Trump.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, that was I've mentioned that on the show before. That was quite a good observation, actually, because of course they have got the sort of similar hair. But Boris Johnson, he actually cuts his own hair. That's why his hair always looks the way that it does, because he's always cut his own hair.
They have the same hair, except that Donald Trump combs his hair, and Boris Johnson only cuts his hair but doesn't comb it.
Yeah, and I think that it's an age-old thing of, like, I think it was similar, say, with Trump. I mean, who would have replaced Trump, you know, if they'd have voted him out in the, you know, Pence? I mean, the guy was like a wooden chair, you know. There was just nothing there. You know, Trump had this personality, and it was that cult of personality at the time. Boris Johnson's got the same. As I say, I think they wanted to get rid of him. They weren't happy that he didn't lock down the country over Christmas last year, when other parts of the UK did impose lockdowns, the likes of Wales and Northern Ireland, I believe, and I think Scotland as well, maybe. But he didn't, and I don't think the powers that should not be were happy with that. And then all these pictures came to light of him when we were in lockdown having these parties at number 10 Downing Street, the official residence and stuff. Well, we know the media had these the day that they happened, and they go back 2 years. years. So it was obviously put to him, and he just thought he'd ride, well, if you don't do this, we're going to, you know, expose that. But unfortunately, people don't put two and two together. The consensus of the majority of the British public is, you know, that's not fair because we locked down. They don't think, well, maybe the lockdowns, if it was so dangerous that we had to lock down, why would these people who are in charge, who know all about what's going on, why would they be perfectly comfortable having parties together? Well, that should tell the people that the lockdowns were unnecessary because the risks weren't weren't that great to require a lockdown. But of course they never asked that question. But he seems to have survived that. There was another vote of no confidence against him. I think 148 votes, people in the Conservative Party, these are all existing members of Parliament of the Conservative Party, and I think they needed just over 178 to get him out, and then he would have had to resign and he couldn't stand again. Other people would stand. And Theresa May had something like that happen to her. All previous Prime Ministers who had vote of no confidence, like Theresa May and Margaret Thatcher, and they hung on. They ended up going a short time later. I don't think that's going to be the case for Boris Johnson because he's got a big majority anyway. And again, it's who are they going to replace him with? And there's no obvious personalities in the Conservative Party cabinet that you could say, yeah, this person could jump in. Some people were touting Rishi Sunak, who's our Chancellor of the Exchequer, who's in charge of the finances in the UK, but unfortunately he has a wife who pays most of her tax in India, and there's been some claims of tax avoidance there, and he was also one of the people caught up in the Partygate fiasco. So if you're going to get rid of somebody because they broke the law by attending parties in lockdown, you're not going to replace them with somebody else who did the same thing. So I think he's going to be there for the, I'd say the long term. I can't see him holding a snap election. They've got a big majority, so I don't think you've seen the last of Boris Johnson for a while. Back to you, Patrick.
Back to me? Well, that's all very interesting. And yeah, Johnson, okay, so he'll be around for a while. You're having in other places too. So Macron, while he won re-election as president, he's losing his parliamentary majority. And in the French system, it means because the French prime minister is responsible to the parliament. They're going to be there's going to be an opposition figure as prime minister who is going to be running day-to-day affairs. So you have that. Germany, you've got this coalition between the Christian Democrats and the Greens. I don't know why the Greens are in there. And what the heck has happened to the Greens? They're the most warlike party ever. The Greens were supposed to be a peace party, but they haven't been in Germany for a long time. 20 years ago, the Greens had some, I guess it was Oskar Fischer, was he gay? And he was all in the Iraq war. He was all for the Iraq war. I think he's the guy that called Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus. He called him a dictator. And Lukashenko said, well, I'd rather be a dictator than gay.
I remember that comment.
I'll go with General Franco anytime over Barney Frank.
That's right. But there's, I mean, I think all over the world there should be big repercussions here because these Western countries just went in on this. It's insane. Ukraine is just being used as a complete sacrificial pawn. And how about repercussions in Ukraine? I expect within a matter of weeks or a couple of months, Zelensky to be overthrown by the military. I can't imagine how the military, because you know, Jews are only about a seventh or an eighth of 1% of the population. The military, these top brass, maybe the defense minister, I don't know, but the generals can't be Jews. There's just not enough of them.
Hey, Patrick, you know what I think the final kiss of death is going to be for Zelensky is when Lloyd Austin goes back over there and has a behind closed doors meeting with Zelensky's military chiefs, and he's basically going to say, hey, look, guys, I know he's a Jewish drag queen comedian, but we got to get rid of this sucker. I mean, that'll be the final end for Zelensky, is that when Lloyd Austin is sent over there to have the plug pulled on him finally, that'll be probably the only way out for Zelensky to avoid kind of the Kuchescu fate in regard to what the military is probably prepared to do to him, because there have been a lot of reports that the military is not happy at all with Zelensky's stand and fight orders, which have basically served to get the best part of the Ukrainian military slaughtered in the Donbass, and the rest of it's been surrounded. So there's an absolute dissatisfaction with Zelensky among his own so-called military leaders in the command structure. And so I think you're right on there. At some point in the next couple of months, they're going to have to pull the plug on him if there's no deal by that time.
Yeah. Do you think he's on cocaine?
I have seen those reports, and apparently I believe, if my memory is correct, it was Medvedev who is basically suggesting that Zelensky and some of his cadre around him are actually cocaine users. I can't confirm that, but
who's ever heard of a Jewish entertainer being on cocaine? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know it. That's it's like something I saw that one of Putin's supporters put on VK yesterday, and it basically said something to the effect of, you don't ask a man how much money he makes, you don't ask a woman what her age is, and you don't ask a Jew what's on his hard drive. So there you have it. But at any rate, I think Zelensky, he may well become a victim of an in-house coup d'etat when the military has finally had enough of him, when they recognize that the longer that Zelensky continues, the worse it's going to be for them in terms of territories lost and the number of people killed. And these Western weapon systems that we keep hearing about are not going to change the course of this situation. We go back to Kissinger at Davos, both in terms of Zelensky's supporters throughout the Western world, as well as potentially a very veiled suggestion by Kissinger to the Ukrainian military leadership that either this guy Zelensky comes to terms with the Russians and a deal is cut, largely along the lines of the Minsk Accord, Patrick, that you quite rightly point out that Zelensky reneged on. As a result of pressure from both the United States and from Boris Johnson. But now the suggestion is he's got to agree to some version of that now, because he's losing his hind end in this situation. And at some juncture, his own military is going to say enough is enough.
Yeah. And of course, the Minsk Accord, that ship has sailed. I mean, and you've got Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO. Yeah.
Yes.
And in terms of Jens, I mean, he's not as attractive as sassy Jens Psaki, but he's still there. Anyway, he's not as sassy as she is, but he's saying that Ukraine's going to have to give up territory, but it's just not up to him to say what territory they're going to give up.
Exactly. That was in RT this morning, and it's clear that when Stoltenberg is talking that way, that it's all over but the shouting. For what they had hoped to achieve through Zelensky.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the Jewish A team. These aren't people that I'm fans of, but, you know, you've got Kissinger, 99, an intellectual, very much an intellectual, you know, one of the leading realist international relations scholars of the mid-20th century. And you've got Noam Chomsky, who is not my favorite yard gnome, but he's 90-something. And he's saying that the only person, you know, that the peace movement has collapsed. The only person talking about negotiations in the West is Donald Trump, the most dangerous man in the world. But you got to give him credit. This is Noam Chomsky. And then even Jeffrey Sachs. I mean, Jeffrey Sachs, who was the architect of the creation of the Jewish kleptocracy, the Jewish oligarchy in Russia. And he's saying that this is just a massive disaster. This war policy of the West is a massive disaster. So, I mean, these are the A team of Jewish schemers.
Exactly.
But, and so who's running our policy? And it's not the A team. These are like Nuland and her husband Robert Kagan and Tony Blinken. These aren't the smart Jews.
That's right. And, everything you're saying is just spot on here, I think, Patrick. And it is going to be interesting when, instead of having the time to foment a civil war between whites and blacks in the United States, where the Jewish establishment is going to be in a civil war of its own over this whole situation of Zelensky in Ukraine. And I say, hey, the guy has one of two choices. Zelensky either is going to commit suicide in the palace in the same way that Allende did in 1973 in Chile, or he's going to be farmed out and he can resume his drag queen comedian act either in Tel Aviv or in Miami. So those are his choices. And again, I think it's just a matter of time before his own military just says to him, hey, you're out of here. Go peacefully, go calmly, resume your comedic act wherever you want to do it. The alternative is that we'll put a bullet in you, frankly.
Yeah, he's going to land in Tel Aviv, I predict. But
well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hounds couldn't catch them down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Gag, wherever you want to do it. The alternative is that we'll put a bullet in you, frankly.
Yeah, he's going to land in Tel Aviv, I predict. But yeah.
I think a good chance of it. I understand this is secondhand information, but I understand that he invested some pretty significant money in a condominium in Tel Aviv for several family members. And I believe his parents are involved in that. That's just a report that I saw. I don't have confirmation of that.
I heard he had property in Miami as well, and there were other senior people in Ukraine that were buying these multi-million pound homes in Switzerland. And it was like, well, all this money is being sent over by these different Western nations, the US in particular, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere apart from into these people's pockets to buy all these other homes for when they flee the country. Any thoughts on that, Patrick? And then probably Mark?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And Miami, I mean, I was down in Miami in the late 1970s. It was chock full of Russian Jews even back then.
And
Mark?
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's going to be another version of Afghanistan. I mean, this is not an original thought with me, but a number of people have pointed out that when you look at the amount of graft that existed in the American military and DOD contractor support of Afghanistan that was chronicled by our own so-called special inspector general for Afghanistan, that all of the reports of that inspector general have been systematically ignored, systematically allowed to disappear. But this is the same thing that's happening with Ukraine, is that it's going to be a winner for American defense contractors. It's going to be a winner for Zelensky and his entourage if they get out in time, in terms of their properties in places like Switzerland and Tel Aviv and Miami. But ultimately, it's going to be a loser for Ukraine as a nation, if there's anything left of it at all. And it's basically going to be a loser in the long run. And this is good news. It should prove to be a loser for NATO and for all of this globalist, internationalist nonsense that everyone from Bernie Sanders to John Bolton seems to be absolutely in love with. So this is a unique opportunity for those of us who want to see this system destroyed, to watch it self-destruct. That's certainly my hope in the situation, at the same time that getting back to the imagery of the wounded animal, as Patrick put it earlier in our conversation today, the New World Order is a wounded animal. Its chief advocates, ranging from the so-called liberal neo-interventionist wing of the Democratic Party, with the Bidens and the Clintons and the Bernie Sanders crowd on the one hand, or with the loon right, ranging from John Bolton to people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Mario Rubio and so forth, that across that spectrum, these people are getting increasingly nervous, increasingly desperate, and that's when I would hate to see, and am fearful of, that kind of desperation translating into something that may occur that would be so rash and so irresponsible that it would bring about a third world war.
Thank you, Mark. And I think it's time for you to close it out, Patrick, and then I'll close it out this end.
Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on National Bugle Radio, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network. Republicbroadcasting.org.